Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, don't you look lovely?
Thank you.
So Dana's heading out to the Titanic exhibit here in just a little bit. There's a VIP gala tonight.
The launch party.
I was invited, but I was told I'd have to wear a tie, and I said no!
And pants.
Yeah, and pants. Right.
And a shirt.
And pants.
And with a collar on it.
And a jacket.
Gross. Ugh.
And underwear.
So gross.
Dan, I'm jealous you got to see the media preview this morning.
So Dan went in today.
It was really cool because...
Did you see, Matt Stewart was there. Did you see him?
I did not.
Oh.
It was... When I went, it was pretty much empty. There was one videographer from, I think it was Spectrum News, and that was it.
You got
it
a private showing?
Basically, I'm just wandering around. I'm like, how do I get out of here? I went through the backstage area. I'm like, wait, wrong place.
So it opens on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday and Sunday are already sold out.
I think people are going to have a good time there.
And then it runs through April. It's going to be here for quite a while. So if you can't get in, you know, this weekend, which you won't, unless you already have a ticket, you've got 5 months, 5.5 months.
Longer than the Titanic.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Daniel!
Is it too soon? I don't think it's too soon.
He's not wrong.
You're allowed to make Titanic jokes now. They're all dead.
We reached out for comment.
Nobody replied. So
y'all are just taking it a bit further.
So it's a good exhibit, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. There's
stuff. Is it downstairs?
There. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It is downstairs, and the boiler room is really cool. They've got that set up.
How's the staircase, the famous staircase that you see in the movie Titanic from 1997?
They did a rather clever idea around that, building the staircase, but also using a photo screen. I'm not exactly sure what they call it, but it's a screen with a photo of the rest of the staircase behind the physical part up front. It's rather clever.
Huh. And it's they were on the other day and they said it's immersive.
Mm-hmm. Lot more wet than I was expecting.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you immerse yourself.
Get out.
I did say I don't know if immersive is the best word to use.
Well, that's the word they used. They were the ones who go, it's an immersive experience.
There are parts of it where you are walking through a recreated, if you will, iceberg. One of the things that's really cool is they tell the story of the iceberg, when it was created, when it broke off and started its journey through the Atlantic.
Is there too much information that you feel like you're drowning in information?
All right, stop it.
No.
Okay. But it covers everything,
yeah.
Not just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
That's right.
Dan, one of the things I like is it showed the passengers.
It's like you get there and you just dive right in.
Right. The passengers That's in right. the lifeboats, it shows their country of origin, their class, which I hate that, you know, they ranked people by class back then, but they did.
But one of the cool things about that is they explain how the tickets work, the first class, second class, third class. And they were talking about how at the time, those buying a third class ticket were, in a sense, treated to things that people that had bought those types of tickets before were not treated to.
Wait, hang on. You don't like it that they listed people by class?
No.
And you're on your way to a VIP dinner there?
Well, that's different.
In a beautiful black gown?
I'm first class, but I hate it.
I don't think there are any third class people that are going to be at the dinner tonight.
They'll be
serving her the hors d'oeuvres.
No, what I don't like back then is.
Do you have any grape poupon?
This bottle of wine, it's a 2018.
Your life was based on how much money you made because a lot of the first class people got to the lifeboats before the third class people. And, you know, in the movie, they lock some of the third class people down below. I don't know if that really happened. My God, I hope it did not. But no, that's very distasteful to me.
One of the interesting things about the Titanic, you do learn quite a bit in this exhibit. Like RMS Titanic, you may not know, means
Royal Mail Service. Oh, Royal Mail. I didn't know that.
That's right. And so they would transport the Royal Mail. They had the contract.
That's why it's called RMS Titanic.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Also, what is interesting is that we already knew this in a sense, but you did have all classes of people. You had the rich, hoity-toity people taking their cruise, but you also had people in Europe that had nothing enough to get a ticket and trying to come over here.
Trying to get to America.
And there are stories they've put up on these placards about people that were coming to Kansas City to start a new life.
Yeah.
How did they know they were headed for Kansas City?
Records and family stories through
because,
the years.
Because the survivors were so sought after. I hate that word. It was a global.
It was a global news event.
Because people from all over the world were on that boat.
Yeah.
So I think people were clamoring for any shred of information about what it was like, what happened, like, you know, all of that stuff. You know, they actually identified through ancestry and DNA one of the child victims, Dan, not too long ago. Mm. Like, you know that so many of those bodies that were buried in Halifax, so many of the bodies that were brought in, they were not able to identify. There's still been some identification going on, and the last one that they identified was a child. In the markers over in Halifax, it's victim number 57, victim number 58, but they did get one identified
modern
in the last couple of years.
Technology and DNA science, yeah.
So the last person who was on the Titanic died in, or the last person, last survivor.
Yes, who was a child. It was a few years ago.
It was May 31st of 2009.
Yeah.
Hmm. Her name was Milvina Dean.
I remembered it was a girl. I didn't remember her name.
She was just a baby and has no memory of being on the Titanic at all.
Do you think today?
She was 97.
Be honest, even with the skirmishes we kind of saw during the end when people were like, okay, there's not enough lifeboats, what are we going to do here? Do you think today it would be immediate mass chaos?
Yes.
Like the notion of women and children first goes flying out the window today.
It's gone.
Maybe if there was a baby, you would want the baby on the boat. But do you think the notion of women first is centuries gone?
I don't know if it's centuries gone. I don't know that there would be this. I think if it happened today, God forbid, and there was a limited number of lifeboats that people could get on, people who were more affluent would feel like they had more right.
I was going to say that class system would still be very much in play.
Yeah.
Milvina Dean.
Yeah.
Her story is up on the wall. Her family's story is up on one of these placards, and it was something new that I learned about. They say that it was 1912, of course. Bertram and Georgetta Dean sold nearly everything they owned in Southampton in England, and they dreamed of settling in Kansas City, Missouri.
No way!
At the time, a booming railroad and manufacturing center, of course, and they packed modestly a few clothes, household tools, and letters of introduction from friends already in Kansas City.
Wow. The other thing that's always
fascinating little story. And you
like,
can read
where
about
were
it.
All those people going? Why were they coming? How were they getting there? And then what happened to them? You know, we didn't have the internet. There was one book written, A Starry Night, I think is what the book was called, which is really the complete account of what that night was like for a survivor. But that's really all we have. It's not like they all went out and did news conferences and made movies. And
the major difference that would happen if it happened today is that we have many, many more rescue vessels that could get there very quickly.
God, you would hope so.
Yeah, the rescue system is much more streamlined nowadays than it was 110 years
ago. I also wondered,
Dan,
it took 90 minutes for it to go down, right?
It was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Pardon me, 2 hours and 40 minutes from the time of the strike to before, you know. But I think the tipping point at the end came pretty quick. I always wonder, how long did it take before people really understood this is a life or death emergency?
Like almost any kind of disaster.
Yes, you know that the violinists are still playing and everyone is out there kind of having fun. And some guy asks for a brandy and they're passing out champagne and they're trying to downplay how bad this is. I want to know, at what mark did people realize, oh my gosh, this thing that they never said it was unsinkable. Is going down. And was it when it was tilted 40 degrees?
I bet at the first sign that this boat's starting to tilt, I'm getting really nervous.
Well, it really broke nervous. Half.
Well, only once it went tilted all the way up.
Well, all the way
water.
Up, yeah. By then, so many people were already in the water. But
well,
like,
from the moment the collision occurred, there among the crew,
they probably
there
knew
was
right away.
Knowledge and action happening.
The crew knew because the water was coming in the very, very
down
bottom
in the
ship. Yeah,
and they were radioing up. If I remember the movie correctly, and let's assume that kind of stuff is historically accurate, they were radioing up. Hey, we've got a big problem down here, and there was no closing that hole.
Yeah. I think folks going through this, you're going to enjoy it. There's a lot to learn and read about and see. And
I really look forward to it. That's going to be fun. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A story here from CBS News. Sad news in the NFL today. Marshawn Kneeland, a defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, has died at the age of 24 from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Quoting here from the team in a statement, it is with extreme sadness that the Dallas Cowboys share that Marshawn Kneeland tragically passed away this morning. Marshawn was a beloved teammate and member of our organization. Our thoughts and prayers regarding Marshawn are with his girlfriend, Catalina, and his family. According to Texas Department of Public Safety, troopers tried to stop Kneeland's vehicle for a traffic violation in the northbound lanes on the Dallas North Tollway just after 10:30 last night. The driver refused to stop and gave troopers chase. DPS said the troopers lost sight of the vehicle and called it off. Troopers later found the vehicle abandoned after it had crashed on the southbound lanes of the Dallas Parkway in Frisco. Law enforcement officers, including a canine unit and drone, searched the area and found Kneeland's body at 1:31 this morning.
And with all of the information we have learned since, it was very clear that he was suffering
from depression,
severely suffering, whatever it was. And there were calls from his girlfriend. There were calls from his agent. There was calls from the NFL. Everybody was trying to find
so
him
they,
because they were all afraid that something horrible was going to happen. And now we know it did.
He played at Western Michigan. And he was a second-round draft pick for the Cowboys last year.
Yeah.
You know, and I read – I can't remember where I read it earlier, but, you know, and unless you have depression, it's hard to understand it. But I certainly sympathize. I have a couple of friends who have severe depression. And, you know, I've had situational depression, but I wouldn't put myself even remotely in their category. It's just – I can't even imagine what it's like to suffer from depression.
His quarterback, by the way, Dak Prescott, known to wear a wrist tape for every game. And on that tape, he writes, "Ask for help."
Huh.
And it's his own little way to try to bring light to the mental health crisis in America, specifically the mental health crisis among young men in America.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just too bad. Starbucks announcing its 2025 holiday menu with several existing and new flavored drinks going on sale this week. But what's generating the most buzz is a new item, the $30 barista mug.
Barista?
No. Bear. B-E-A-R.
Oh.
Barista mug.
Okay.
A glass cup for cold drinks resembling a honey bear container.
Okay.
The mug, which is topped with a green silicone beanie, went on sale today as Starbucks stores began offering its holiday menu. The mugs, by the way, if you can get one, get one.
Yeah.
They sell for $30, but they're going on eBay between $150 and $400 a pop.
It's like the little tote bags that Trader Joe's was selling a couple of years ago. You could get them from Trader Joe's for $2, and they intentionally, it's intentional scarcity, or I don't remember what the actual marketing term is, but something scarcity. Where they only sell so many of them and they explode on the secondary market.
Remember when they came out with those, they came in either red or green. They were Christmas plastic Starbucks cups with the lid and everything on
the
it.
Tumblers.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And people were going out of their minds. Mm-hmm.
You know, every time I think to myself, we can't be that dumb. We can't deserve all of the dumb stuff that happens to us as a society. And then I find out that people are spending $300 for a cup.
Yeah. Peloton, did not know they still existed, is recalling 833,000 of its original series Bike Plus exercise bikes because the seat post can break, potentially causing riders to fall off.
It could be worse.
The maker of the internet-enabled fitness equipment has received 3 reports of the seat post How could it be worse, Sam?
Well, the seat could detach and the post could remain, if you get my drift.
And go places you wouldn't want the post to go.
That would certainly be worse than falling off of the bike. Now, there have been some serious injuries reported. I'm not trying to make light of those. But when I initially saw this headline, my brain immediately went to the seat goes flying, the post remains. Oh, whoa! Just trying to get some exercise, man.
You get goosed a little bit.
But, yeah, Peloton, once again, this is like their, fourth recall, fifth recall? They had the Peloton Tread, which was the treadmill that was literally sucking children underneath it.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, sorry, Peloton. I've never had one. I don't know if your product is amazing
is. Because remember, they exploded in popularity during COVID because it was a way that you could stay home, get a workout on your bicycle.
You could kind of get that cycle-style class without going to a class because you could have the actual Peloton trainer yelling at you through the screen.
Right.
Are they still popular? If you go on Facebook Marketplace and search Peloton, you see a lot of them. And part of that was driven by the fact that they just kept driving their costs up because when every single person was buying a Peloton and subscribing to these workout classes, they were making all the money in the world. Well, once gyms opened back up, it's a whole lot cheaper than whatever Peloton was charging to just go to the gym or go to that cycle class and actually have real community in person. And so their sales dropped and they hiked prices and people are getting rid of them.
Well, so a Peloton bike sells for $2,495.
And I think it was, I'm just pulling numbers out of thin air here based on my memory, but I think it was like $19 a month and they upped it to like $40 a month. You know, you double the price and a lot of people are going to stop subscribing.
Great point from the text line. You know what really pisses me off is, this is from 2924. You know what really pisses me off is people complaining about the prices in this country and inflation and how they can't afford Christmas. But yeah, let's go out and pay $400 for a coffee mug.
Mm-hmm.
Great point, Texter.
Well, I mean, that applies to many things in life. People complain, you know, I'm tired, my back hurts. Well, did you drink any water? Did you eat any protein today? Yeah.
Wow. Your empathy meter is on zero.
There's a lot of people that complain about a lot of things that they have complete control over. Like, I don't know. Not spending $400 on a stupid cup, which, by the way, if you think you're going to buy that cup for $400 and 20 years from now, sell it for what? $105? Throw it in the dumpster.
100 pennies?
Yeah. Well, no, there won't be pennies at that time.
Well, that's true. Archaeologists have discovered evidence of an ancient religious practice in northern Israel, in addition to a wine press dating back roughly 5,000 years.
Oh.
The wine press, which is likewise the earliest relic of wine production in Israel, was found during an excavation.
They were ripping up a bunch of dirt to put in a highway.
That's correct.
Something tells me that wine press did not remain intact in that process.
Pressing, by the way, officials say the wine press, which was carved from stone, was evidence that a Canaanite religious group existed at the site thousands of years ago. Huh. Fascinating. Quick break. Sam Stevie. My name is Scott Parks. Dana is heading on her way right now to the Titanic exhibit dinner this evening, so we'll get a full recap of how exciting this clearly is going to be when she returns tomorrow. Oh, don't forget, in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, it is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances, and that is brought to you by Q39. Russian President Vladimir Putin says his country will explore the possibility of carrying out fresh nuclear tests after the United States announced last week that Washington would begin nuclear testing programs again, first time in, I think, 33 years, if I'm not mistaken. Quoting here from President Putin, Russia has always strictly adhered and continues to adhere to its obligations under the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, the CTBT.
Did you?
And we have no plans to deviate from these commitments. At the same time, however, should the U.S. or other countries who are signatories of the CTBT begin to conduct nuclear weapons tests, Russia would also have to take appropriate and proportionate responsive measures. Good times. Good times. If you're just getting in the car and you missed the news earlier today, here's from CNN. American, Delta, United, and Southwest are among airlines announcing hundreds of flight cancellations now. And this is because the Department of Transportation has put a 10% reduction on flights at 40 major American airports. Kansas City is not one of them.
Despite being the 40th of the most busy airports within the United States.
Correct. And so some of these airports are as big as you can imagine. You know, JFK, LAX, LaGuardia, Chicago Midway. And some of them are, like, I've never even heard of Teterboro. I don't even know what that is. Teterboro.
It might have to do with, like, proximity to hubs and the ability to, staff ATC to get all of those planes in and out. And I had thought yesterday, and the text line had corrected me, and then other texters were correcting the texter, so I don't really know. I thought that there was a chance that KCI, MCI was not going to be on that list because our TSA is third party. Texter texted in saying that all TSA agents are third party.
That's what I thought.
And then it was followed up with a bunch of other texters, like 100 of them, who said, no, KCI is third party. Most of the other ones are directly hired by the federal government. So maybe that's why we weren't on that list. Maybe it's because our operations are still being paid for in some way.
We don't know that.
I don't know. Just spitballing here. Just trying to figure it out. But if you're flying out of KCI, you're probably going to get out. Whether or not you can make it to your destination or whether or not you can make it back from your destination. Well,
the latter there is what you're looking for.
Certainly up in the air.
Yeah.
That was not supposed to be a pun.
Like I had someone very close to me who flew out of KCI a couple, 3 hours ago, and they said everything went fine. There were, I was texting with them, hey, are you doing okay? Are you on the flight? And they were on the flight. They were ready to go. It was on time. Got through TSA with no problem.
Fox 4 was following Fly KCI all day long, and as of 4 p.m., they said that the delays had reached into the 70s. 70 different flights had been delayed throughout the day.
At KCI.
But again, those flights were probably headed towards destinations that were on that list. I have a buddy who's flying out to Tampa on Sunday morning.
Tampa's on the list.
On the list.
So's Anchorage, Alaska. I found that one really bizarre.
He has no idea if he's going to be able to make it to his destination this weekend.
Well, I bet they make it to it. The question is, are you going to be able to get out? You know,
right.
Because if there's a 10% reduction, like this person close to me, they're going to Phoenix. Phoenix is on the list, right? And it's not whether they can get into Phoenix, but is their return flight to Kansas City, does it happen to be one of those 10% flights that got canceled.
And if you don't have a direct flight and you can stomach driving for a very extended period of time, just rent a car.
Dude, I would rather chew on tinfoil than drive to Phoenix, Arizona.
I don't disagree with you, but you know I love going to the UP, and we looked into flying there this year rather than driving the 14 hours.
Where would you fly into?
You fly into Traverse City and then drive 4 hours to the UP. Or you can. There's a couple airports in the UP, but it's very expensive to fly in those into those.
Traverse City what?
Michigan.
And how do you get to the UP? Is there a ferry or something?
You just drive north. There's a bridge.
Oh, there's a bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got to be a pretty long bridge.
It's a very long bridge. And we looked at the cost and the time. And, you know, to get from here to Traverse City is 3 flights. So our flying day was going to be 12 hours and triple the cost of gas to drive there. So I looked at my buddy and I was like, why aren't we just driving? Let's just drive. And we did. So if you can stomach it, in many cases, if you don't have that direct flight, if you are flying to maybe, you know, you're flying through Tampa to get to another smaller regional airport, it may be who of you just to go ahead and, well, dude, Tampa's a bad example because that's a whatever 26-hour drive or whatever.
My dad was a driver.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Drove to Alaska through the water. It's crazy.
That's an island.
It's a big tunnel.
And I'll never forget, like, the worst road trip, longest road trip we ever went on. I don't know. I might have been like 11. We were living in Fort Hood, Texas, which is right in the middle of the state, right?
Yeah.
We drive all the way to Florida to visit my mom's mom and stepdad. From Florida, we drive to New York City. It was 3 days.
I bet. In the car.
In the car.
Yeah.
And both of my parents smoked at the time. I mean, that was... Oh. And then from New York, we drove all the way back to Texas.
And that was back in the day when you just had to be bored in the car. I mean, your only enjoyment was counting the mile markers.
Or trying to see how many different state license plates we could find.
Montana, yeah, pop!
That's exactly right.
You and Beav were back there just punching each other every 5 seconds. Nevada, pop!
What do you got, Dan?
The thing about taking a road trip is you get to carry all your stuff with you.
Thing about a road trip is it takes 3 days.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
And what if you're out in the middle of nowhere and your car breaks down, like on vacation?
Well, you fix it.
Huh?
Sam knows.
Yes, you fix it.
There would be nothing worse than driving from Kansas City to Phoenix, Arizona. All that desert.
One time we were driving through New Mexico and I had an issue with my old Xterra. And so we got a local garage, and we just spent the night in a hotel in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico.
Wow, this sounds exciting.
And it was fun. It was an adventure.
The trick is to have a very trusted driving buddy, because then you can just switch off, and you don't have to stop. You sleep while the other one drives. But you have to trust that person, because driving in the middle of the night is no easy feat.
Well, years ago, I drove from here to Atlanta, and I went with a buddy of mine from Lansing, a guy named John Rao. And we're leaving Atlanta. He tells me, we were in my car. It was a Pontiac Cherry Red Grand Am. And he says, I'll do the first leg of driving. I'm like, sweet. So, because it was early and I was tired, and we leave Atlanta, and we're, you know, you go through northwestern Georgia, and then you get into South Central Tennessee, and then you go to Northwestern Tennessee, then through Missouri, and then you turn left at St. Louis, right? I give him the map, you know, let's say it was Highway 45 or something. I have no idea. I can't remember. And I said, you want to take this highway here and then go west on 45. And he's like, okay, fine. No problem. Well, he ended up going east. And I finally,
pulled a Dana.
Yeah, I woke up. And we were right on the border between Tennessee and North Carolina. And I literally punched him, not in the face, but in the arm. And I'm like, you idiot, you just literally cost us 8 hours. Because we were 4 hours the wrong direction. And this was back when you used to have a map in the car, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Now kids have tablets and and the phone on the big screen.
And the phone tells you which way to turn. Mm-hmm.
I still carry a paper map with me.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you find one?
It's an older one, but...
You can still get them at travel centers. I've gotten one from time to time because you know that I like to go to places that don't have cell service.
Yeah.
And if you pull up the map before you get to the area with no cell service, you're fine. Mm-hmm. But I've also found myself in a situation where I was like, I have no idea where I am.
Do you guys sell maps at QT?
Not anymore. We used to.
I don't think they sell them.
Well, the truck stop ones have them.
Huh.
I think they still sell them at one of the big box stores, and you can, of course, order them online.
Huh.
Rand McNally.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, this story. An American man and his teenage son have died after they were swarmed by wasps while ziplining at an adventure camp in Laos and stung more than many dozens of times. Dan Owen, the director of an international school in neighboring Vietnam, and his son Cooper were attacked by the wasps October 15th at the Green Jungle Park as they were descending from a tree at the end of a zip line. Oof. The camp is located outside of the city that I can't pronounce. Apparently, it's a popular tourist site in Laos. The two were taken to a local clinic and then transported to a hospital where they arrived in critical condition. Both died. Both were stung more than 100 times
Ooh.
By the wasps. I cannot
the amount of pain.
Oh, my God.
I mean, at some point, your entire body would just go numb. But up until that point,
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dude, I run from those things like a little girl.
Really?
Oh, bees used to bother me. They don't bother me at all anymore because I started looking it up. They want nothing to do with you, and you want nothing to do with them.
Yeah, they want pollen. If they attack you, it is purely a defense mechanism.
Yeah, and I've actually, you know, I've got a lot of some flowers in the front landscaping and everything, and they'll be, you know, collecting pollen or whatever, and I'll be working right next to them, you know, yeah. laying mulch or trimming one of the little plants or something, and they completely leave me alone. Wasps are angry, mean, vindictive little insects. And the only thing worse than a wasp is a horsefly.
What about a roach?
Well, I mean, like...
Things that fly?
Well, roaches fly.
Oh, that's true.
But roaches don't sting you. They're just disgusting.
Horse flies, those bites hurt.
They do hurt, and they don't care, man.
Yeah.
They just, if they see you, they want to kill you.
It's a big problem on float trips in southern Missouri, because if one finds you and takes a liking to you, it will follow you all the way down mm-hmm. the river.
That's right. A mother of four hired to clean an Indiana home was shot dead.
Oh.
When she tried to enter the wrong house, according to authorities. Officers arrived at the Whitestown home. The name of the town is Whitestown. November 5th, when someone called 911 early to report a, quote, possible break-in, when members of the Whitestown Police Department arrived, they found a woman suffering from a gunshot wound on the front porch of the home. That's not in the house.
Did not make it in, it sounds like.
When members of the police department, blah, 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 she was identified in a GoFundMe as Maria Perez, a hardworking mother of four.
So what, a key jiggles in the lock and you open fire? Because I'm assuming she had a key to enter the home that she was supposed to be going in.
Probably. It doesn't say here if this person shot through the door.
We live in an extreme state
of
paranoia.
Yeah, we do. I mean, why not just say, I have a gun, do not enter this house?
Well, here's an idea. How about you just walk away from the door and wait to see what happens?
Wait to see who comes in. Birthdays today. Emma Stone, the actress, is 37. Sally Field is 79. You like me. You really like me. Ethan Hawke is 55. And Maria Shriver, journalist, former First Lady of California, is 70 years old today. We got to run. Hey, on behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. And God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.